new documentary explores the way in which the impact of major flooding has shaped the town of Lismore, chronicling how the ravages of rising water have upended so many lives. With climate change magnifying natural disasters, Lismore finds itself at a fork in the road, having to adapt to the new reality of an increased probability of floods. I asked the director of Floodland, Jordan Justy, what drove him to make this documentary about the people of Lismore?
I found myself in the area before the floods. I was in a relationship with someone who grew up there and spent most of her life there, who I'd met in Melbourne. But I would travel with her to see her family who lived in the area. And it's really because of them that I'm even making this film and had that connection in the first place. Up until the end of 2021, people were telling me how great they felt about Lismore, how it just recovered from the 2017 flood. So there's a huge wave of optimism, which I was very excited about, and it made it a really amazing place to go. The 2022 floods happened, and I was there shortly after the second flood in early April of that year to see how night and day it was and how this town had just been completely decimated. I was wanting to help, but feeling a little at a loss for what I could do beyond just the immediate, you know, helping with very material things, cleaning up and so forth. And I was only there for a short time, and so I felt like, what's something that could be more lasting? And I found a lot of people telling me stories about Lismore, not just about these floods, but about the history of flooding and how they felt that there was too much focus on the immediate disaster and not enough talk about what to sustainably do in the area, and a frustration around that. And I felt as though through my experience in filmmaking and with the connections I had, I can help the people I was speaking to and meeting telling their story. And so it really just grew. It became a process over 3 years of filming pretty regularly every 3 months and became a portrait of recovery by virtue of that process.
So witnessing the documentary, the ravages of the flood, I mean, the images could almost come out of a sci-fi movie. You know, we see people sitting on the tops of big giant buildings, people kayaking between structures. Can you talk a bit about the scale of the damage? It's really hard to put in words, just the impact of it all.
Yeah, and it's even hard to put to images. For me, being there and seeing it, it was a huge challenge just to articulate that, even with images. Even with some of the amazing images we got from amazing cinematographers that contributed their footage from the immediate aftermath, even still, like, it doesn't do it justice. It certainly gives you a picture, but it's pretty mind-blowing to consider, at least in Lismore. Of course, it flooded everywhere in the Northern Rivers area and even in Queensland. But the fact that in Lismore it was 14 metres high at its peak, it's easy to think about just the vertical, but it's not just the height vertically, but how far that stretches. For water to go that high along that big of a catchment, you know, I was hearing that there was more water in the area than in the Sydney Harbour at the peak of the flood. You know, that's really mind-blowing to me.
The film deals with the aftermath of the floods, and we witness the toll placed on people who've lost their homes and are considering whether they should stay in Lismore and risk being flooded again, or whether they should relocate. This is a dilemma that Lismore residents are confronting. You know, do you have to abandon a community where you've established roots, or is it better to seek somewhere new? Tina, tell us a little bit about how Lismore is dealing with this dilemma.
I think it's been a very difficult one to process, and having had the reference of post-2017, what it looks like post the 2022 floods, these ones do feel different. They feel like they've hit even harder. And from what I've observed, it's a very hard one to come back from, but people are. And a big theme in the film is this sense of wanting to hope that it might never happen again, which I very much understand. I made a point that I don't want the film to have any answers for anyone. What I hope is that it prompts people affected by these floods, but also people potentially in other areas and across the Northern Rivers, to start to think openly about what might be best for them, whether it is to stay or whether it is to leave. But of course, there are people who don't have much choice. So it's a very complicated matter. Lismore's feeling the weight of that, and so is the rest of the Northern Rivers region. It's been difficult to see how much the scars have still remained, but maybe that's an important thing not to forget and to remember what happened. It does feel like it's back to normal somewhat, but I just worry if there's another flood, what will it look the exact same way?
So what are the feasible options? Like, you talk about maybe moving houses is one idea, that you put them on a truck and you move them to areas which are less flood affected so that you're safer. You've got also a scheme where you could lift the house, but I believe only 3 out of 500 people that applied for that have got it. They're just such a huge waiting list. And you also have this housing buyback scheme. How is this all working out?
From what I can tell, the buyback scheme was probably the most viable and a very successful scheme that was passed. It's on the scale that It's pretty unprecedented for this country. Of course, there are other examples of that in Queensland, but it was a huge success to get that passed. But as I understand it, there was one tranche of funding that went through, and there was meant to be subsequent ones that didn't end up being passed. So what you ended up getting was a patchwork of certain properties getting the buyback and others not. And I don't think there's been great clarity on how necessarily that there is a map that's released, but I don't think there's clarity on how they decided who got what and where. And because it was only half done, it's also just created even more issues. And it's a difficult question because some people might say, well, you know, why is taxpayer money going to buying out these homes that people bought? But I think people fail to see that the property market in Lismore, as it is everywhere, can be quite predatory. It's a free market. There's no obligation to disclose if a house is flood affected. It's all the onus on the buyer, which allows those selling homes to be keeping their cards close to their chest when selling a home. So a lot of people buy these homes not fully knowing exactly how in danger they are. And that could be seen as a failure on policy, allowing this to happen. But beyond that, if the concern is where certain funding is going, the cost of moving homes will probably pale in comparison to how much it will cost to respond to another flood event.
Jordan Justy, the director of Floodland, speaking to Stephen Hill. Floodland is currently in a national release, and there are upcoming screenings at Sydney's Golden Age Cinema, Lismore Cinema, Darwin Deckchair Cinema, the Adelaide Mercury, and the Sydney Australian Museum.